Hello everyone, and welcome back to the 10-4 Show. My name is Jonathan Carter, and this week in episode 37, we're going to begin taking a look at some of the new features coming along with ASP.NET MVC 2. Now specifically in this episode, we're going to take a look at how UI and data validation has become significantly streamlined and is a much easier experience to do and code in V2 as compared to the original V1 product. Now, the best way for me to explain this and to show the improvements and the contrast between the two versions is with some code. So let's just go ahead and jump right into Visual Studio, take a look at an example, and see how we can take advantage of V2 to improve our development experience. So for this demo, what we're going to do is use the Tailspin Travel Database, which was an application built for the PDC that is a travel booking app. Now in this case, just for simplicity, we're going to focus on the ability to add and edit airports. And this will be good because it's simple enough, but it'll allow us to show off how to use some of the new validation features in MVC2. So here you see we have a list of airports, Denver, Los Angeles, Seattle, and so forth. Let's go ahead and attempt to create a new one. Now immediately when I click on the Add New field, I want to just hit Create without specifying any data in these two text boxes. Now, as you would expect, as soon as I hit that, I get a post back, comes back and tells me that airport code and display name is required, and we say OK. So I'm going to create the airport code as JC, the display name as Jonathan Carter, because I'm going to create my own airport. I hit OK there. Notice that the display name being required was satisfied, but now it's telling me that airport code must be 3 characters. So we'll just say, OK, whatever, JC, exclamation point for emphasis. Hit create there, and now it's telling us that it can only contain capital letters, so obviously the exclamation point isn't valid, so we'll just use my full initials and call it JPC. And that should satisfy the validation rules, and so there we go. Now what I want to do is now let's go look into the code and see how this is implemented using a ASP.NET MVC V1 approach, and then see how we can improve upon that to get the same, and not if not better, functionality in a lot less code. So let's go ahead and close this. So here's our create view that we were just looking at. And as we take a look at the code, you'll see that it's very standard and there's actually nothing of surprise here. We've got our form, and then within that we have a validation summary, 2 text boxes, and then a set of validation messages, all HTML helpers. Now what's of interest is how we're actually handling the validation. And as I show this code, I'll give a brief introduction to how validation actually works in MVC for those that aren't familiar with it already. Now, if you look at the create action, what we're doing is we're taking in an airport instance. And the reason we can do that is because of what's called a model binder that will take the incoming posted form values and map them to properties of a class for us. So in this case, we're saying that the class that we want to represent our model, or the instance of data that we're acting upon, is an airport. So if we go back to the view and notice that we have 2 text boxes, airport code and display name, those 2 fields just so happen to map to property names on the airport class. So what it'll do is it'll attempt to create an instance of airport based on the posted form. Now once we've done that, we need to actually validate that the business rules and the validation rules that we've put in place are actually abided by. Now to do this in V1, you traditionally had to use a very imperative approach. So notice immediately within the action method, I call this validate airport method, which is a custom piece of code. And if we scroll down there, you see that it's just a method that I have a series of checks, whether the airport code or the display name was actually specified. Here I check if airport code is exactly 3 characters, and then as well as making sure it's only capital letters. Now of interest here is notice that if any of those checks fail, what the code is actually doing is calling this addModelError method on ModelState. Now what ModelState is it's essentially an extension to ViewData that shows all data attempts in that when a form request was posted any data that was attempted to be set on a model instance, as well as any errors that occurred in the process of those data set operations. So in this case, if an airport code wasn't specified, we're saying that there was a model state error on the airport code model property, and the error message for that error is the airport code is required. Now, if you notice down here, each of these four model errors that we create, you might remember that these are the exact messages that we saw in the view when we would post the form with the wrong data. So how does that connection actually happen? So once we've specified these model errors in model state, that model state, because it's a part of view data, obviously then becomes available within the view. Now if we go back to the create view, what's very interesting is notice how we're using validation message, the HTML helper here. So when we essentially what happens is when you say validation message for airport code, you're saying look at the model state dictionary, and if there is an error for the airport code property, display the message, and in this case it's an asterisk. And so that's why as soon as any server-side validation rules fail, we immediately see that reflected in the view. Now the validation summary works very much the same way, in that it'll look at all model errors in model state and then enumerate them as an unordered list. And that's how the basic workings of validation is in MVC V1. So what are some of the problems with this, the way this currently works? Now if you notice here, I'm doing some very simple things. Regex, string length, and required. These are all very basic, very common validation rules, and in order to achieve it, I'm having to do more code than I really should. And it's also, you know, just not very intuitive to follow. So what I want to do is delete this entire block of code completely and say, this is not something we should have to be writing. So then we go up here and say, great, we can delete this code as well. Now you'll notice that after I made the call to validate airport, I also had to then check whether model state is valid. Now that's still going to exist, because essentially what we want to do is in MVC2, we want to allow the model binder to automatically perform validation for us, so that at the point of our code, our custom code running within the action method, we already know, without having to then rerun our own custom validation, if the instance of airport is valid or not. So the question is, how do we do that? Now out of the box, what we can do is take advantage of the data annotation attributes that were introduced in .NET 3.5 SP1. So if you're familiar with dynamic data, or some of the new Silverlight 3 controls that were introduced earlier this year, then you already are probably familiar with the data annotation attributes. And what these are simply attributes that allow you to specify metadata or validation rules declaratively on your data model. So what we're going to do is let's go and create a partial class for airport and begin to specify some of these data annotations. So if we go to our models folder and we'll do an add new class, and we'll call this airport. Now the reason we're making this a partial class is because in this example I'm using the entity framework and it already generated an airport class for me. So the thing that we also need to keep in mind is because of the validation rules we want to specify are at the property level, we're going to need to put that on what is called a metadata or buddy type class, because there is no such thing as partial properties. And once again, if you're already familiar with data annotations, you're aware of this, and if not, there's other resources that you can learn kind of how the data annotations work, but they're not really in the scope of this episode. So what I'm going to do is say private class airport metadata type, and that can be named anything, it doesn't matter, because the association between the two is done via an attribute. So if we go back to the airport class, we say metadata type, add the proper namespace for that, which is system.componentModel.dataAnnotations, and we tell it the metadata type is airport metadata type. Great. So now once we have that, we can just simply do a bunch of properties on this type and then add attributes to those. So let's think back to the imperative validation rules that we created in the V1 approach style of our code. So we had the property called airport code, and on that property we had things like required. So instead of checking for is null or whitespace, we can just simply declaratively say this property is required. Now in addition to that, we also said that it had to be 3 characters. So we'll say string length is equal to 3. We also had a regex that required that it only be capital letters. So let's say regular expression, and we'll say A through Z 3 times. So once again, the regex is actually fairly redundant on the string length, but we'll leave it there just kind of for emphasis and illustration purposes. So then we'll also do public object display name. And then on that one, it was just required. So now what this does is this completely replaces the imperative code that we wrote in the previous example. Now this is interesting for a few more reasons. You might be looking at this code and saying, well, isn't that about the same amount of code that you had to write in the imperative version of validate airport? And objectively, you would be pretty much correct. The reason this is arguably better or more intuitive is that, one, we've written code that is not specific to any UI. So in the previous validate airport method, we were having to make calls to model state dot add model error and so forth, and that required a understanding of the internals of the way MVC validation kind of works, which isn't horribly bad, but once again, it's another concept that someone has to learn. Whereas in this case, we're able to just simply specify the rules on our model and then allow the runtime to determine how it actually translates that into some type of validation system. So now that we have this in place, if we just go back to our controller, we shouldn't have to make any changes, because what's going to happen is when the model binder sees a type of airport being attempted to be created from the request, it's going to notice that that class has a series of attributes attached to it and run those validation rules. So even though we removed all that code, if we run this, when I attempt to create a new airport, we should see the exact same validation errors that we did in the previous version. So let me go ahead and say create new. And when I hit create, notice, here we go. Airport code field is required. Display name field is required. If I specify a display name, that's good. Let me say 00000 bunch. Gonna say, oh, it needs to be no more than 3, as well as a regular expression. So let me say 090, so that's 3. But then the regex fails. We do 000, create, and now it works. Oh, and it has to be capital. And so we're good. So we just achieved the exact same functionality, but a little bit more intuitively. So now what I want to do is a couple things. One, you might have also noticed that because we're now having the error messages generated for us by default, you see how it's, you know, airport code with no space, display name with no space. That's obviously not very optimal. So what we can do is, in addition to specifying validation rules on our model using data annotations, we can also specify metadata. So if we go back to our model, we can say display name and add this appropriate system.component namespace, component model, and say airport code with the space, and then come down to display name and then say display name. Let me specify the correct there. So now if I rerun this and we go to attempt to create an airport with missing values for both those fields, we should see spaces in the property names, and here we do. So notice once again that both the model binder and model state in general is fully respectful of model data as well as, or metadata and validation rules that we put on our model. So this is pretty cool. Now one other thing that I want to do that we didn't have in our previous V1 implementation is add client-side validation as well. Because we all know that it's just, there's no excuse in today's day and age to have a web application that doesn't have client-side validation. Anytime you have to go back to the server, it's just a, you know, pretty poor experience, and so it's just pretty much unacceptable. But the caveat to that is that you have to write JavaScript in order to have that client-side validation, at which point you're replicating your validation rules once again. So this is where we start to see the trade-offs between declaratively specifying our validation versus imperatively. Because even though this code is arguably the same amount as the old validate airport method, what we're about to do is going to save us a lot more code than we would have been able to. So what I want to do is let's go to our master page and add a couple of JavaScript files. And in fact, when you create a new MVC application, you have this script folder with all these JavaScript files provided for you out of the box. So first off, let's add in Microsoft Ajax.debug. And then let's also add in Microsoft MVC Ajax.debug. So what that does is it includes the MS Ajax library, as well as some custom extensions for MVC. Then on top of that, let's go to our create view and do one line of code. What we're going to say is HTML.enableClientValidation, and that's it. So what we're saying here is that we want the view to examine any validation rules that might exist for our current model and emit a JavaScript version of those exact same rules, so that when we attempt to post any form within the view, it will validate any of those rules before actually posting to the server. So what this does is it allows us to specify our validation rules a single time and actually get both client-side and server-side validation completely for free. So let's rerun this and see if it works. So I'm going to go to try to add a new airport. And once again, I'll just immediately hit create new after not specifying any data. Now by doing that, notice I did not get a post back this time, but I get the exact same error messages. So let me go ahead and specify display name. Notice that just by doing that, now automatically the field is valid again. If I hit create, it's now no longer saying display name is required. Let me say more than three characters. It's now going to tell me it's a maximum length of three. So I'll say 090, and it's now going to tell me the validation. So we have both the string length, the required, and the regular expression validation fully on the client side as well. And this is where really the benefits of having the declarative approach of doing validation in metadata becomes much more compelling. Now, one other thing that I want to show real briefly is that some of you might be looking at this and saying, that's awesome. I love the fact that you can do this type of thing, but maybe you're using another validation framework already. So the very wonderful Castle framework has its own validation type of library, which is also implemented via attributes. And maybe you want to use those instead of the data annotations, and that's fine. And the good news is that both the metadata and the validation engine in MVC2 is actually fully extensible. So what we could do is, if you wanted, we could go into the global ASCX file and say model metadata providers.current. And I could set that to a new instance of my own custom metadata provider. And that would then allow me to determine where the metadata for my model came from. In addition, you could say model validation providers dot providers and then add one. So in fact, you can have multiple validator providers going at any given time, which is pretty powerful, because you can imagine you could have both Castle validation as well as data annotations being used within the same application, and those would collaborate both in client and server-side validation. Now, that might not be the most intuitive thing to compare and combine the two, but you have the option if you wanted to, or you could completely replace the default out-of-the-box behavior if you wanted to as well. So that is pretty much the basics of how to use the new validation support in MVC. So let's go ahead and hopefully this made it very clear just how simple this feature is and how the code savings and intuitiveness of it will hopefully make your developing web applications in the future. So in summary, hopefully it was pretty clear just how easy data and UI validation is in MVC2. Being able to take advantage of a declarative approach to specifying your metadata and validation rules will not only represent a savings in the amount of code you have to write, but also in the amount of concepts you have to learn. in that the fact that we got JavaScript validation completely for free, as well as server validation without having to understand the inner workings of the model state validation engine, made it where it just was that much more easier to get the business rules that we needed without having to muck with the actual imperative logic to achieve it. Now, in addition, because of the way MVC is developed and the extensibility that we have come to love, if you don't want to use the data annotations attributes, or you want to use a different JavaScript validation library as opposed to MS Ajax, all of that is completely extensible. So we encourage anyone to continue to create new providers, and you can definitely rest assured that the MVC Contrib project will have all kinds of great extension points here to make sure that everyone can code with the frameworks and in the way that they love. So finally, we once again thank you very much for tuning in to this week's episode. We continue to ask you to send in any suggestions, comments, feedback, love, hate mail. And on that, we continue to say tune in to next week's episode for more tips on MVC, as well as all things Visual Studio 2010 and .NET 4. Thanks again, and over and out.